John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, we got a picture. Nice to see you all, by the way. Isn't it a blessing to be a child of God?
Amen.
Amen. I am so richly blessed. Isn't it something what you can learn from a child? One request this morning before we focus in on God's Word and the tipping factor that determines our destiny. Just a request from Dan. If anybody's got those cell phones, would you check your cell phones right now and put it on, what do you call that, silent mode? We're on holy ground. This morning I want us to consider what I believe to be the tipping factor in the Christian experience that will determine whether or not a person will ultimately, by faith, cooperate with God, allow Him to save him, or be lost. The scales kind of say it all. Eternal life, eternal death. Kids, this is the tipping point right here. And John chapter 17 is the factor. There Jesus is talking to His Heavenly Father before He was taken and crucified. And He says these words. Everybody there? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. What's eternal life based upon? Knowing God. I had in our first church district many years ago, I had a friend who was actually a financial agent. What do you call it? A financial, someone who helps people apportion their finances. Anyway, he just had a real unique approach to introducing his clients to his work. And so this is how he would introduce his clients to his work. If what you believe to be true about your finances was not really true, when would you like to know about it? You know, in these closing scenes of Earth's history, I believe that that's a valid question for us to ask. For me to maybe ask you this morning. If what you believed about God to be true was not really true, when would you want to know about it? In the light of John 17, verse 3. Why is it such a crucial question? Because eternal life is based upon knowing God. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him personally. How many of you would say amen? I would agree. The major tipping factor in this scale is knowing God. Knowing Christ as He really is. Why did I say know Christ as He really is? Can anybody tell me? Jesus talking to, what was the disciple that said, show us the Father? What did Jesus say to him? John 14:9. Philip, have I been with you for so long? And you don't understand. He that has seen me has what? Look at this, John chapter 12, verse 45. Just another text. I just found this the other day. But it's good. John chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus talking, and it just fits. John 12, verse 45. Now get the context. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, the religious leaders of Christ's day, also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Mercy! I don't want to get caught in that, do you? This might be important then. 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believes on me believes not on me, but on Him that sent me. And he that sees me sees who? Isn't that neat? Now go to Matthew chapter 7 just for a moment, would you? Matthew chapter 7. Look at starting at verse 21. Here's the parable, you know, that Jesus tells about the two men. One built his house on a rock and the other built his house on the sand. And whose house stood? The sandy guy's house or the rocky guy's house? How many of you had a pet rock? This probably dates you. Raise your hand if you didn't have a pet rock. I'm having mercy on the pet rock lovers. What's so unique about a rock? Does it ever change? Only if you paint a picture of a face on it. But if you build on the rock, and the rock doesn't change, then listen what you're building on that rock has a way better chance of surviving. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of God, the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now look close there. Look at those verses, Matthew 7 there, 21 through 23. I have a question. Who is it that must depart from God because they are working iniquity? Look at the words there close and tell me. Who is it in those verses? And someone can shout out the words, but who is it in those verses? Who is it that actually has to depart from God because they are working iniquity? How does the Lord describe them? They're working iniquity. Yes, they are. They're working iniquity and they've got to depart from God. But what does God say? I never knew you. Who does God know? Galatians 4:9. Let's have it. Let's let the word tell us. Let's find out who God knows. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. This is in just about every translation. I looked at a whole bunch of translations here a couple of days ago. It says the same thing. But here is who God knows. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul talking to the Galatian Christians. Here's who God knows. But now after you have known God, or rather are what? Who does God know? Those who know him. In Matthew 7, those who don't know him have to flee. Let's go on. And I want to share a spirit of prophecy statement. It's in your bulletin. Do you see it there, the bulletin? This adds a little weight to this whole thing. But the tipping factor is knowing God, whether or not I know him. This is the tipping factor. God knows those who know him. See the statement in your bulletin? I think it's there. Acts of the Apostles, page 475. Notice what it says. The knowledge of God, as revealed in Christ, is the knowledge that all who are saved, what? Must have. This is the knowledge that works transformation of character. Amen? Want to hear another one? Please say yes. First Selected Messages, 363. Look at this. Oh no, listen to this. You don't have it. If you would stand through the time of trouble, you must know Christ. Can I share one more? I'm only doing this because I know your spirit of prophecy buffs here. Maranatha 76. Only by knowing God here can we prepare to meet him at his coming. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't know God, would you be happy hanging around for the rest of your life? Maybe. If he was doing things your way. So in the brief moments we have together this morning, at their brief moments, I want to take you through a trip through the Bible. Because eternal life is based upon knowing God. It's the tipping factor. And here's a statement I want you to remember this morning. I wish I would have put it on the board, on the screen, but I forgot. But here it is. Time alone with Christ, in his word, to know God, nothing replaces it. But without it, everything replaces it. So, as you see in a moment here, turn with me if you would to Judges chapter 2. You'll see in a moment that people respond to life situations in all kinds of unhealthy ways when their personal knowledge of God is unhealthy. I am so grateful that God has given us the Bible so that our knowledge does not have to remain unhealthy. Reading now from another devotional called That I May Know Him, while you're going to Judges chapter 2. Here's a statement that I think is just profound. The whole spiritual life is molded by our conceptions of God. And if we cherish erroneous views of His character, our souls will sustain injury. Everybody at Judges chapter 2? Judges 2, starting at verse 7. Little journey now. Little bit of a spiritual journey through the Bible right down to the end of time. Judges chapter 2, hang on, here we go. Starting at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So here's Joshua and here's the elders, the characters that saw, came through the Red Sea and saw all the amazing miracles that God worked to deliver his people. Here they are, they're alive, and the people are serving the Lord. Verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. So Joshua and all the elders, all that generation that had seen what God had did for the Israelites, what happened to them? They're dead. After them, verse 10, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, not yet the works which he had done, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel. I should have gotten my glasses. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the people which were round about them, and bowed themselves down under them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. What do you think? What was the problem? Didn't know God. What happened? Other gods. Yep. Pet rocks. Ready for the next one? Jeremiah chapter 9. Going to Jeremiah's time. Remember this, friends. Time alone with Christ in his word to know God. Jeremiah chapter 9. Time alone with Christ in his word, in this Bible, to know him, to know God, nothing can replace it. But without it, everything replaces it. Tipping point. Jeremiah chapter 9. Now we're talking Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. Talking about God's people. And they bend their tongues like a bow for lives. They're not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Good or bad? Which side of the scale? What was the problem? They knew not God. Listen, time alone in the Bible. Time alone here. Time with the Master to know him. Nothing replaces it. Nothing. But without it, everything replaces it. Anybody relating? Yeah. Ready for the next one? Let's jump to Hosea's day. Actually, Hosea was actually prophesying before Jeremiah. He's actually the first book of prophets in the Hosea. Where's Hosea? Is that Old Testament or New Testament? Before Matthew or after Revelation? After Daniel, is that right? Sure. Hosea chapter 4. Watch this close now. I'm going to ask you some questions about this one because this is big. Hosea chapter 4, look at verse 6. Very famous text. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have not because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. Mercy. Why were they destroyed? Lack of knowledge. Now let me ask you a question. Was it because they didn't have the opportunity to have the knowledge? Nope. You're right. What did the lack of knowledge that they chose to neglect? What did it cause them to do? Look closely. Verse 6. What did it cause them to do? Forget the law of God. Is that healthy or unhealthy? Unhealthy. Watch the scales. By the way, in the end of time, and I think we're getting close, what's the subject of the testing issue at the end of time? The law of interesting. It was an issue back then, and the people chose to reject the knowledge of God, and they forgot the law of God. Isn't that just typical? By the way, do you know what knowledge it was that they were rejecting that caused them to actually, what did it say? Forget the law of God? Do you know what kind of knowledge it was they were rejecting? Verse 1. Notice the knowledge that was missing. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, we children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Mark this, dear friends. Mark it. Where there is a lack of knowing God as He really is, where there is a lack, there's also a forgetfulness of God's moral law and a corresponding increase in iniquity. Tipping factor. Time alone with Christ. Actually studying the life of Christ, because who came to show us what God was really like? Time alone studying the life of Christ. To know Him. Nothing replaces it. But listen, without it? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 13. And not to Hosea. Acts chapter 13. Now we're getting close here. Getting close to the end. Got to go to Acts chapter 13 there and read about the reason why the religious leaders of Christ, they rejected and crucified Him. I suppose you probably already know, but let's read it. Acts chapter 13. Where's the book of Acts? Old or New Testament? You know, it's interesting. There are people, and I don't fault anybody because we do the best we can with what we've got. But there are people who do not know whether the book of Acts is in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And they've gone to church all their life. So I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just checking. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Notice what it says. This is amazing to me. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Talking to the Jews now. Talking to the leaders. And whosoever among you fears God, in you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they what? They didn't know Him. Nor yet the verses of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning Him. And though they found no cause of death in Him, talking about Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain. There it is again. Listen, the tipping factor. Time alone, studying the life of Christ, who came to show us what God was like. Time alone with God in His Word, to know Him. How much replaces it? It's the tipping factor. And without it, the scales tip the wrong way. I want to tip the scales the right way. What do you say? Amen. Praise God. Well, we need to take it down to our day. John chapter 15. You got to see this. John chapter 15. Jesus talking to His disciples. And yes, it happened to them. Guess what? It's going to happen to us. John chapter 15, we'll look at a couple verses here. You got to see this. John chapter 15, verse 20. In chapter 15 and 16, Jesus, this is just a short time before he was taken and crucified, but he is trying to prepare his disciples for what they're going to face with the trial they were going to run into when they saw him crucified. John chapter 15, I'm looking now at verse 20. Jesus talking here, and he says, "Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." By the way, I hope that the things that we are sharing, they're actually able to keep and willing, because they're actually following Jesus when they hear our sayings. One more, verse 21, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." For what reason? "Because they know not him." Now it gets a little heavier. Go to John chapter 16. John 16, we're looking now at verses 1 through 3. Jesus again trying to prepare his disciples. I'm kind of thinking he's trying to prepare us too. What do you think? John chapter 16, verse 1. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time comes that whoever kills you will think he's doing God's service." Are these religious people or non-religious people? Now look at the reason why they do that. There it is. Verse 4. Verse 3. "And these things will they do unto you because they what?" We're told that there is going to be a big group, and I'm going to address Seventh-day Adventists here, that there is going to be a big group of Seventh-day Adventists who are actually going to turn tail, walk away, and then come back and be our worst enemies. Why? The tipping factor. They don't know him. Remember this, dear friends. Time alone in the Bible, in God's Word, to know Jesus Christ, the one that came to show us what the Father was really like. Time alone in God's Word, studying to know him, nothing replaces it. But listen, without it, wow. The other reason Christ's true disciples are going to face death penalty from their professed followers of Christ, you can read it in Revelation 13, is because they don't know God. Listen, they know a God, but not the Creator. They have a law, but not his. Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, going to try and bring this to a close. You know, this is really something, it was a shocking eye-opener for me as I was studying to come to the realization. Now this is a big one for me because, you know, I love to study the Bible. Anybody here love to study the Bible? Sure, amen. Man, it's our life. It was a shocking realization for me when I realized that I could know the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, the sequence, the end time events, the sequence. I could know it all and still be lost. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Definition, not going to stay here long. But look at the description of those who are lost, who are destroyed by the brightness of Christ's return. Verses 7 and 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? And obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can you see why the enemy is doing his utmost to keep us from knowing God the way he really is? Wow. Why is it that someone can still be lost and know all the prophecies of the Bible and just have it all down? Why is it that someone can be lost? Heart problem. Yeah, the law of the mind is 2 Corinthians 3:18. You can write it down, but we won't go there. But the Lord says there, "By beholding we become changed." But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into His image. But listen, if I'm beholding something else, does that make sense? What I'm choosing to give my mind to, give my mental attention to, is doing some phenomenal stuff in my head. Whatever I'm giving the majority of my mental attention to, whatever my informational diet is that I'm choosing to feed my mind, it is changing me into the same image. And I can be a prophecy buff. If I don't know God, I'm in trouble. So, listen. Don't quit studying prophecy. Please don't do that. No. Don't do that. And don't quit memorizing scripture. Don't do that. Keep doing it. But make sure that you are taking time alone in the Word of God to study the life of Christ. Because it's your life. Well, let's go back to Philippians 3. Let's bring this to a close. Notice Paul. Notice what the Apostle Paul gave up. And that guy was an intellectual giant. Man. Well, research is showing now, they used to say we used to use around 10% of our brain's capacity. I don't know how they figure that, be it right or wrong. But Stanford University research now is showing that they figure with what they know about the brain now, that we're using 2 to 3% of what we got. In fact, secular scientists are telling us that we have 2 to 3 million years of storage capacity in this brain. I wonder if God's trying to reach them. Lead them to know Him. Amen. Look at what Paul gave up, was willing to give up for the knowledge of God. Isn't this something? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things. How many things? And understand, I haven't arrived. I'm in the same growth process you are. I'm not sure I get this yet. But I know that if I'm taking time alone with God to get to know Christ, get to know the Lord better day by day, time alone with God, guess what He's doing to me? Guess what He'll do to you? All hearts desire for anything except to live for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As we behold, the transformation goes on. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of how many things? And I do count them as elk dung. Boy, there's a lot of that around here. Patsy and I were out walking. They were right by our window last night. I don't know if they were, but there were some trace elements proving the point. Paul counted it all but dung, that he win Christ and be found in Him, not having his own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. What do you say? If it was that important to the Apostle Paul to actually be on the eternal life side of the tipping factor, I kind of think it might be that valuable for us too. What do you say? Go to 2 Timothy now, chapter 1, verse 12. End of Paul's journey. I want the same testimony at the end of my journey. Paul's testimony at the end of his journey, I hope this is your testimony and mine. Some of us are a little closer to the end of our earthly journey than others. And those of you who are young people who are in love with Christ, who are serious about knowing God, you are way ahead of, you're going to be way ahead of the pack. And I hope this is your testimony too. Because we never know when our day is up. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. For the cause of Christ, for the which cause, the cause of Christ, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know who I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. All right. Question. Can I ask two more questions before we shut down? Question. Look at the verse. What was Paul convinced that the Lord was able to do for him. Able to keep everything he committed to him. Isn't that amazing? What kind of effect did this have on Paul? That he was convinced that God was able to keep everything he committed to him. What kind of effect did it have? Find the words there. How did it affect Paul in verse 12? I am not ashamed. How many of you have ever struggled with shame? Come on, don't raise your hand. I don't know about you, but I've been ashamed. I have made a mess of my life and done things and said things even in my old age. Done things and said things that I am ashamed of. But to come to the point of knowing God so well. Oh, by the way, I gave it away. Why was Paul in this position? Do you see it there in verse 12? Why was he so unashamed and committed, sure that God was able to keep what he'd kept, what he'd committed to him? For I know him. Time alone in the Word of God to know Christ, how much replaces it? Nothing replaces it if I take the time. But without it, I want to be on this side of the eternal life's going to be worth it all. To see my Savior, your Savior, is going to be worth it all. What do you say? We should probably sing a closing song. Guess who else knew the Bible? Guess who else knew God? Jesus said in John 10, verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. Well, the enemy may know, but he doesn't know God like God knows him. But there is one who knows God the way God knows him. And I don't know about you, but I want to know God the way he knows me. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? Should we pray? Yeah. Dear Father, I'm sorry for all the days, all the times where you have convicted my heart that I need to be alone with you to know you better. And I've chosen to run off with some of my busyness. Please forgive me. I don't know where my brothers and sisters are at in their relationship with you. I don't know that. But I'm just asking that you would just bring conviction to their hearts and encourage them in their walk with you to take that time to know you by studying the life of Christ, contemplating his experience and the way he related to you and to people and to life. Please bless my dear beloved sisters and brothers here. And Lord, thank you for the law that by beholding we become changed. Please bless us with a hunger and a thirst to behold you and your character of love. Thank you again for preparing us for eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In your name we pray. Amen.